Sam, would you like to tell us a little bit about this story?
Hey, guys. Yes, absolutely. I don't know, man. Like, I started with this idea that exoskeletons are inherently cool. You know what I mean? Like, I kind of started with exoskeletons and tried to go somewhere from there. But in doing that, I kind of came across this cool little niche that exoskeletons have made for themselves. You know, they're a new technology, and like any new technology, they're still kind of finding their place in the world. And it's finding these niches in places that I never would have thought. And one of them is in medicine, which is when I came across the ExoFlex, as you're going to hear with Peter Abdolfati, which is a hand therapy device.
So let's just go back a step. What exactly is an exoskeleton?
Yeah, well, it's a wearable robot. That's the way that I've been describing it to people.
So who's going to benefit most from this?
Well, they have a variety of uses as far as I understand. And through doing this story, I kind of focused on the medical angle. The one that I looked at was a therapy device. So basically it allows people who have experienced paralysis in their hands to wear this like robotic glove that provides tension as they move their hands, and it'll help them build their muscles back up. And there was another one I looked at that was for stroke patients to give them movement back in their arms. So these machines focus on specific limbs, but eventually the idea is to have full body exoskeletons that can maybe help people that have had full paralysis.
So is the idea that if these people don't have exoskeletons, then it's just like heaps and heaps of physiotherapy?
Well, exactly, with expensive therapists. And with stuff like the ExoFlex, all they need is the machine, and then they can do it by themselves at home through like an easily programmable interface, a little tablet kind of thing that's hooked up to it.
And you actually got to wear one of these exoskeletons. What was it like
wearing
one?
Yeah. I was lucky enough to try both of them on. I checked out the ExoFlex first, and it was... God, it was just really weird feeling. I think Peter in the story describes it as having someone else's hand sitting behind your own and like moving your hand. But it's more like having a machine that knows what you're about to do before you do it, because it reacts to the tiny muscle movements in your hand. It's just incredible. It's really difficult to describe.
You're about to hear just what it's like. Sam, thanks very much.
No problem at all. Thank you, guys.
This is a quick calibration. So you just do your maximum extension.
Okay.
And I record it. Perfect.
So now the machine knows my limits.
Exactly.
If you could see this now, you'd think I was being kitted out for some high-tech sci-fi spacewalk. I'm in this sleek white boardroom in a small tech startup in Pymble, and I'm in the process of having a robot strapped to my arm.
I'll put him back there.
Okay, yeah, sure. That's cool.
I'm wearing a robotic exoskeleton which runs down my left forearm, curving over the top of each of my fingers. It's called the ExoFlex.
How do people usually react when they do this for the first time?
Well, you know what, we haven't shown a huge number of people this kind of what you're doing now. Some of it is new behaviors that we've implemented, and some of it is a bit, to be honest, secretive.
That's Peter Abdolfati walking us through my new augmentation. And who better to introduce us to this futuristic power fist? After all, he invented it.
Imagine it as a bunch of fingers behind your hand. Like if you're paralyzed or you're having difficulties moving your finger, and a therapist comes from behind you, you know, on top of your hand, and puts their hand over yours and gently pushes down. But then they'll have to like have suction caps and lift it up as well, you know, do the reverse. That's what this does. It goes behind your fingers in the top, which we call the dorsum of your fingers, and it's stuck to your fingers through these band-aids that we've put on.
I gotta say, it looks like something out of a Ridley Scott movie, but it's actually a tool for rehabilitation. Exoskeletons are bleeding out of science fiction and into our lives. Lacking spaceflight or giant aliens to defend ourselves from, the catalyst for this is medicine. But before we dive into that, I'm going to take a moment to visualize this thing for you. But it's kind of hard to describe, so try to bear with me. So start with a cast. It's made of blue plastic and strapped to your left forearm. It's identical to the kind of thing you'd wear if you sprained your wrist or something, only it's covered in Velcro. Next, they attach the motors. They're these long, thin bricks that run along the arm from elbow to wrist. They're roughly the length of a ruler and about an inch thick. They're Velcroed on, side by side along the cast, four motors for the fingers, one special motor for the thumb. Now here is where the magic happens. At the wrist end of each motor, three thin, flat, hyperflexible pieces of metal slide out over the back of the hand and curve all the way over each finger. These strips of metal are the same size and they're stacked on top of each other, only a few millimeters thick and about a centimeter wide. Take a look at your hand right now. That'll make this easier, trust me. Now imagine if each bone on each of your fingers had a magnet strapped to the top. Alright, so what you're left with is a series of long, thin motors side by side on your forearm with a thin strip of metal curving over each finger. And there's plastic nodes connecting the metal to each bone. Now those metal strips slide over each other individually, pushing and pulling each bone in your finger based on the algorithm being fed to the motor. So it's completely customizable. One motor, one finger, three motors, three fingers, you get the idea. Today, I'm wearing two, one controlling my pointer and the other my index finger. With the power of maths, the exoskeleton knows exactly what you're about to do before you do it. The feeling of having a machine you're wearing push and pull your fingers for you is absolutely, utterly indescribable.
So try moving your finger yourself. You see how it reacts to you? That's what we're talking about when we're saying about human-machine interface.
Yeah.
So it's a very novel force-sensing mechanism inside that can feel the forces from your finger and then move the motors accordingly.
I'm not pulling this metal out. The motor just knows that I'm moving my finger and it's reacting
to you. Right, so now part of that could be for this function that we just did, like to be able to quickly self-adjust for you. The other one could be that not only can it follow you with very little force, it could also follow you with some force. So it could actually assist you if it pushes more than you're actually moving. So you're moving forward and it moves forward, but at a higher rate. So it actually assists you in closing your hand. And then the other way of using it would be the resistance form. You're moving and it's resisting your movement like a rubber band.
And that's the strength training.
Yeah, exactly. And so in hand therapy departments, you'll see these things called outriggers, which are splints with rubber bands attached to fingertips so that they're doing the exact same thing, keeping your hand open but creating some resistance.
Yeah.
The problem with those systems is that with a rubber band, just like in any other spring, the more you pull, the higher the force gets, because the more you stretch the rubber band, the greater that force becomes. And that's actually the opposite of what you want. You want it to release that force as you close your hand, not increase that force. But you can't really achieve that with a rubber band. But this device can apply the same exact force throughout your movement.
Imagine the potential of a thing like this for people who've lost movement in their hands, for building the hand strength of stroke patients, and those who suffer from muscular degeneration or partial paralysis. This machine could give them their hands back. In fact, these robots have such an enticing promise in medicine that this is how it happens. This is how exoskeletons finally make their way from science fiction into our world. Not through conflict or conquering the galaxy, but through medicine. Don't believe me? At Royal North Shore Hospital in Sydney, they have a pair of robotic legs teaching people to walk again. At the University of Technology, also in Sydney, they're designing an exoskeleton that wraps around the entire arm, from shoulder to wrist. One day, it could help people recover the use of their arms. I was lucky enough to try it out.
So this is the industrial controller that comes with the arm. If we tell the robot to move to this position, it controls all of that. It tells the joints how to move to get there.
I'm with Dr. Mark Carmichael in the University of Technology Sydney's robotics lab. He'll take it from here.
So this is technically an exoskeleton. It's mounted on this platform here. An operator would either sit or stand here with the shoulder roughly aligned with the shoulder of the robot.
See, I thought an exoskeleton was something that you would wear, not necessarily...
Not necessarily, yeah, no. Okay. So you can't have exoskeletons just designed for an individual limb,
okay,
maybe just for the wrist or for the elbow. An entire body exoskeleton is it's challenging. And we are getting to that point where I actually just recently saw, I think Someone like Kondo or I can't remember who exactly. Sure. They had a full body exoskeleton. It's like something out of the movie of Aliens. It was really impressive.
That's a personal influence for you, right? Aliens?
Yeah, it is. Growing up, I loved that movie, The Yellow Exoskeleton. She fights off the queen. Yeah, amazing.
Get away from her, you bitch!
And that is a little bit why we've got this robot as yellow.
Okay, really?
Apart from its high vis and kind of safety, nice and soft.
Yeah.
It's nice and yellow. So, yeah.
I see the resemblance.
Yeah, exactly the same.
While it's not exactly Ripley's power loader, this exoskeleton arm is remarkable in its own way. Think for a moment how complex your shoulder is. Move your arm around. Seriously, if you're not in a public place, twist it around just to see how huge its range of motion is. It's got this massive area of flexibility, but there are points of no return where the shoulder can't bend the arm any further. A robotic exoskeleton needs to be able to mimic that insane range without dislocating your shoulder. Dr. Carmichael's robot solves this problem using a series of 5 rotating disc joints.
Yeah, so that's one of the big novelties of this design here. They're a bit like layers of an onion in the sense that they wrap around themselves, they can fold in on itself, and it can, and when it's operating, it has quite this hypnotic kind of behavior. At a minimum, you'll need 3 joints at the shoulder. We've looked at the idea of exploiting redundancy, so we have additional joints there that is quite beneficial for a few reasons. One, if you have just 3 joints in your exoskeleton, there's always going to be somewhere where when you are wearing the device, you can't move your arm. It's limiting you in some way. Either the robot has to collide with itself, or it'll collide with you, or the 2 of the joint axes become aligned and a phenomenon known as gimbal lock occurs. So all of these things limit where the robot can reach, and that means that there's the human shoulder has a massive range of motion. It, out of all of the articulations in the human body, it has the most. So trying to design a device that you wear, which can have the same range of motion, but without limiting you, it's quite challenging to kind of reconcile those two.
If this sounds a little complicated, that's because it is. I mean, how do you sit down with a pen and paper and design an exoskeleton arm with 5 joints that all fold back on each other?
Well, we got around that by not having to do it. What we did is we came up with a mathematical model that describes this mechanism. Then we fed this model into a computer program using genetic algorithms to actually tell us what are the best numbers to put into this design. This is one of the designs that it spat out. We implemented it. It works pretty well.
And I mean, even if you have a computer do your designing for you, a massive amount of effort goes into solving the issues that come with building a robot around a human. But the point is, the potential of exoskeletons to help people heal is driving scientists like Mark to solve them. And there's another reason.
It's a bit of an obvious kind of, we'll start here. It's very much in demand, and it's only going to get worse and worse or more in demand with an aging population. So people are predicting that, you know, in 20 years, the number of aged is going to outweigh the number of, you know, people below 20 or something like that. And they're foreseeing that that's going to be a big problem because you're going to have all of these elderly people who need this care and no one to give it. So the idea is that we can use a robot to be the physical embodiment, you know, actually physically administer this rehabilitation and still have people there sort of being kind of overseeing the rehabilitation, but they have more of a administrative kind of role, so they kind of oversee it and kind of monitor the progress of these patients as they recover over time.
And now that this groundwork is being laid, who knows where exoskeletons could take us next?
We haven't seen anything like this ever after all these years, so we think we're really onto something. Like, can this be used in space to assist astronauts in opening and closing their hands in space? Where, I mean, one of the biggest troubles that NASA has is when they create the spacesuits, particularly with the fingers, they require dexterity. When you've got that vacuum outside of your spacesuit, it really seizes up the gloves, so you can't really move your hand with facility.
The potential for where it's going right now, it's really exciting. I can't even think about 5 or 10 years ago seeing anything like this in the media. You know, there was no videos, no nothing apart from, you know, a bit of sci-fi stuff. Now it seems every 2 months there's a video about a new company has developed an exoskeleton that's allowing paraplegics to walk again. And the fact that that's happened within this small span of time, that's really exciting, and it makes me wonder about where it's going next. And to be at the front of that, it's really exciting.